This episode is brought to you by MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink, inspiring public curiosity about food. Learn more at MOFAD.org.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, Heritage Radio Network's weekly food news roundup. This week, we're celebrating Black culture through the complicated lens of agriculture. We speak to Carla Hall about her uncompromising soul food recipes.
And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I changing my family's history for another culture?
We also hear from Gabriela Rodriguez at Harlem Grown's Youth Farm Uptown.
About empowerment and, you know, community resilience building through this work. Food is kind of just a vehicle.
Leah Penniman addresses feeling like an outsider in the farming community.
I could count on my two hands the number of people who appeared to be POC, people of color. And so I literally would go around little slips of paper and say, hey, meet at 1 o'clock under this tree so we can talk.
Tune in to this week's Meat and Three on Heritage Radio Network. That's Meat plus sign THREE, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cool. Good morning. We are on location today. The main course OG is broadcasting from O. Adamanelli and Sons at 285 Bleecker Street in the West Village. You guys have been open since the 1950s.
Right. That was when my father opened about 75 years ago. So.
Wow. And it's now run by brothers Jerry, Frank, and Joe.
That's right.
Yes. Peter is no longer with us, and you guys are going strong here on Bleecker. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming.
You guys are heroes. So, of course, the question at the front of everybody's mind, how has the commute changed from Staten Island from the 1950s to today? We hear you carpool to work 5 or 6 days a week.
We carpool every morning, the three of us. It's about the same.
Whose week is it?
This is my week. Next week is...
This is a slow week. Jerry drives.
Next week is Joe's week.
That's the fast week.
We have Frank's week.
And then that's the cautious week.
Yes. And then whoever's in the back seat gets to get a
Puts
few extra...
Puts their seatbelt on and goes to sleep and hope nothing happens.
And hope that you see Bleecker Street and you
again,
feel... Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Awesome.
How have your customers changed as the neighborhood has evolved?
Well, years ago, it used to be more family. The whole block used to be... Actually, when my father started here, he was the new kid on the block. There were six other butchers on the block when he first opened. So, little by little, he proved himself. And
how many are left? Just you guys?
No, there's two on the block now.
Pacho's Pork Store. Yeah.
Right.
So, but how has the people changed? The customers, are they less polite? Are they the same?
No, the same. They're more aware of what they're buying now, which is good. They understand the black pig pork chops, which is good, and you know.
And by the way, we should say that was Joe talking, and the other voice you're hearing is Jerry. So
Frank's taking care of
Frank is helping a customer
that's
as we
right.
speak.
That's our first priority is our customers.
Absolutely. We know that. So has the way that you sourced your meat changed over the years? And what about the demand for certain specialty cuts or, you know, whether it be organic or pasture raised? People seem to have a different vocabulary now.
Yes. They're more geared to the all natural products, which is understandable and more healthier.
Does that mean you've had to change your vendors over the years, or do you go back to your roots in a way?
Well, we've changed vendors over the years. You know, Patrick and Emily, our new vendors.
I'm sorry that had to happen to you. You probably missed the old days before guys like us were around trying to ship you extra case of tenderloin.
That's okay. We expect that. You know, we expect a little give and take with our vendors. You know, it's not calling up a big company and just ordering. Getting whatever they want. We'd like to interact with our vendors.
Personalized service.
You're also distributors, right? You're not just a butcher shop. We see the Adamanelli's truck around the neighborhood.
To the better restaurants we deliver to. Mm-hmm. Not to
how the... How many wholesale customers do you think you have?
I'm 30, 35. That's about it.
That's very significant. I don't think that's about it.
Well, most cities don't even have 35 restaurants.
So we have an important question.
Okay. This is Emily's question.
Do you watch any food TV?
Food Network.
Okay. Do you have a favorite personality? You like Jada De Laurentiis,
Jada's
don't
nice.
You?
Yeah, Jada's
I had a
nice.
Feeling. You look like a Jada man.
I'm a Jada man.
You're a Jada man?
So
I missed kicking in the kitchen. Bitching in the kitchen, lady.
Oh, bitching in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Who is that? Amberell?
No. I don't know who that was.
Amberell started across the street.
I know, and then Food TV made her famous, and I think that also has allowed some people to open restaurants because they have this sort of face recognition and everything like that. So you're not a Food TV man, are you, Jerry?
No, I'm not. I do all this food over here. I'm fine.
So let's get Frank in here. This question is really for all of you. This you're about to hear from Frank for the first time. Tell us some truths about butchering from lessons you've learned since the 1950s. Something a regular person or cook might not know about butchering.
Well, that would be Frank. He knows all about butchering.
Hi, I'm Frank. It's hard to tell you different things. We do help our customers talk about meat and stuff. We do help them a lot. Sometimes if they're not aware of what they want to cook and stuff, we help them. And
but what is the truth? Tell us something about the actual art of being a butcher, something that maybe took you a while to master or something that you feel you guys do particularly well here or something like that.
I think I mastered butchering for help from my father. He helped us, you know, we worked and lived in the village all our life. And we, after school, my mother would do her shopping on Bleecker Street and we would stay with my father and slowly come and pick up the knife and help us. And the schooling, that was our school of education, my father, from the old world.
So did you guys graduate from high school?
I did graduate from college. I was supposed to go to Farmingdale University, but my father said, why? Come here. And I'm here. I did go to food trade for vocational high school, and I learned cooking, butchering, and baking. Butchering, my freshman year, they put me right with the seniors. Which, in a way, was good and not good. But we got through it, and I graduated.
So what was the order in which you guys started to work at this butcher shop? Tell us years, how old you guys were.
Well, we slowly, years ago, we used to deliver by bicycle, walk and bicycle. Now we don't do that. We do everything on the refrigeration by truck. And when there was no waters, my father would give us a knife to pick up. We were, you know, right after grade school, really, 8th grade, 9th grade. We would come right from school.
I did read an article that said you were trained on only cutting the scraps and the cheaper parts of meat.
This is true. My father gave us dirty work to do, eviscerate the chickens, the ducks, and all that, and pluck a pheasant. But we don't have to do that no more.
And Jerry, did you do less of the butchering? Were you more on the business side, or you guys all break down cows and pigs?
In the beginning, we all butchered. We had hindquarters of beef, chucks of beef. Those are like 150-pound pieces of beef, and we would hind sales of veal. That's how we learned to butcher. We'd bring it in, hang it in the cooler, and cut it down right in the cooler. I did mostly butchering. Frank, we all did butchering in the beginning before we didn't learn anything about the business, really.
So what roles did you guys gravitate towards? And were those set for you by your dad, or did you just naturally gravitate? So tell you, Jerry, Frank, Joe, and Peter, I'd like to know what each guy did in this.
Well, our main concern always was the customer. Was taking care of the customer. Then we gradually, Frank goes down to market every morning and selects the meat. I would try to set up the orders for the day. Joe would buy poultry, and then we gravitate toward buying the specialty meats like heritage pork or pheasants and quail and dealing with the individual farmers.
What is one of the, besides us, of course, which I'm sure is number one, but what are one of the products that you're proudest of that you helped introduce into the community? I know you buy from a lot of different people.
Well, now, we are proud of heritage. We really are proud. That's not just saying it. We're proud of having the, when people come in and say, what do you have that's special? We say it, the heritage pork loins. Then we'll tell them about our dry-aged Black Angus ribeye steaks. And then we'll tell them about our sausages that we make over here. Lamb sausages, pork sausage, all homemade here, no chemicals, no preservatives. And one of our specialties also is an Italian-style veal roast wrapped in bacon that we make here, which we, you know, our father taught us how to make. And pork brajoles that we make that's already seasoned, that we season. And things like that, you know. Our lamb is all from Colorado. Not yours, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But we're seasonal with our lamb. It's okay. We'll bring you a taste from Vermont.
Okay.
But, and if you had to pick, is there one child, if you have to pick a favorite item to bring home at the end of the night to make for dinner, do you have one favorite cut?
I love the pork chops, but I would have to say Black Angus ribeye steak. Yes. I'm a beef man.
Well, I only have grandchildren at home, right? You know, and one of them in particular loves lamb, but she's incredible. She'll eat anything. Sometimes she'll just wait and have dinner with me, just because my wife doesn't eat what I eat, where she calls, don't bring any strange meat home, which could be a rabbit or a guinea hen or a pheasant. No.
My husband would call strange meat when I bring a goat home, and he's like, you're not cooking it properly. He's like, let's wait and go to a restaurant for that. He's like, that's too strange.
Goat is good. Really good.
Well, is it a milk-fed goat or a mature goat?
Yeah, good question.
That's a very good question. So in October, we work with mostly the dairy goats, but you know they're the males. So, if you were to walk into someone else's butcher shop, not your own, when you occasionally go out, how do you judge if they're a good butcher or a bad one? Is there something that you need to see where their knife is hanging or something about their butcher block?
Well, first of all, I don't have the time to go look at somebody, but I would just pass them up and be home with my bride.
All right. But if you were, okay, if you walked in and Patrick was trying to butcher something, well, what's the sign that you're doing it wrong?
I know people that come in, other butchers come into our store, and I call them spies, and I don't want to be called a spy.
No, but I mean, how do you pride yourself? Like, I once took a picture of a mountain of, I guess, very thinly sliced back fat that you had. And I mean, that looked to me super cool. And I put it on my social media, and I don't see that at other butcher shops.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we do with that fat is we, without giving away trade secrets, we wrap roasts in that. We wrap filet mignon in that. Frank has to take care of one of our good best customers right now, Jamie.
No problem.
Can we get your best customer on the radio?
Well, that's up to him. That's Jamie.
This guy?
All right, Patrick's going to go recruit a...
When I go into a butcher shop to look, it's got to be clean, first of all. And the meat has to, if it's displayed properly, if it's cut fresh and all that, look, and if it looks good, you know.
Absolutely.
Eye appeal is one of the best things.
So we have Stephanie Spina here, one of your best customers.
Well,
and
she's been with us a long time. How you doing?
So why do you continue to shop here at O'Adamanelli's and Sons?
Because these guys are pros. This is where you come. I live uptown now. I still come down to shop here. Anything you need, the service is great. It's old school. It's what I like in a butcher.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, great. Stephanie. Fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink. Featuring a variety of interactive displays, MOFAD encourages eaters of all ages to be curious about food. The museum currently operates MOFAD Lab, a 5,000-square-foot experimental space in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where Chow, making the Chinese-American restaurant, is currently on show until the end of March 2019. This exhibition celebrates the birth and evolution of Chinese-American restaurants, tracing their nearly 170-year history, and sparking conversations about food culture, immigration, and what it means to be American. It highlights the evolution timeline of Chinese-American restaurant menus, dating back to 1910, and also highlights a tasting section where participants get to enjoy tastings created by the country's most talented chefs who specialize in Chinese-American cuisine. Make sure you check out Chow while you still can. The exhibition closes at the end of March 2019. Check out MOFAD's tastings and extensive event calendar at mofad.org/events.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. Hi, my name is Sam Benrubi, and I'm the host of The Grape Nation on Heritage Radio Network. With this show, we bring wine to the people. Each week, we bring the best guests in wine on, taste different wines on air, and invite our listeners to taste with us. You'll find our approach to wine decidedly unsnobby. You can find The Grape Nation wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Speaking of, you know, uptown, downtown, there's I'm always a little confused. Who, the Ottomanelli's family, for those of us who are dummies, give us a little crash course. Do you have cousins who are running a different shop? Was there a family feud?
No family feud. Okay. Let's back that up right now. We get along really well. My father's brother, he had a shop uptown in Yorkville. I have another uncle. Well, they're both gone. They're all gone. All the brothers are gone. And they're all run by my cousins like us. We sure. all run our own shops. Nick runs a shop on 81st in York. We get along very good. My cousin Frank runs a shop out in Woodside. Another cousin, Jerry, on Utopia Parkway. So we get along fine.
As long as you're not on each other's turf. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
She's always a provocateur.
She is the provocateur, huh?
Yeah, today she is. So you guys represent a kind of culture that just is harder and harder to find. I mean, do you lament the loss of artisanship and people doing a trade for many decades? Does it still exist like it did? I mean, do we have some wrong nostalgic view of the past that everybody was an artisan?
It's nice to have nostalgia, but change is always in the air, and things do change. You can't do business like we did 50 years ago. It's changed. The whole nature changed. And it's changed for the good. It hasn't changed for the bad. Change is not bad. It's good.
What would you like people to say to walk away about Ottomanelli's, the legacy of this place to customers that'll continue to come back? What's the best thing they can say about you guys?
That they were happy to shop here, that we treated them properly, and that we gave them the right service and the right quality that they wanted.
Fantastic.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much. We couldn't get you to Roberta's. You guys never leave Staten Island.
Well,
leave Manhattan.
We only have Sunday with our families.
Sure.
The other days, 6 days a week, we're here.
Can you just tell us about the grandkids? You have 5, your brother has 1, and your other brother has 4. So you have a grand...
No, he hasn't. Joe has no grandchildren yet. Peter, who we lost, has 2, I have 6 grandchildren, 5 daughters, granddaughters, and 1 grandson. And like Frank said, he has his children are 2 sets of twins, and he has 3 girls and 1 boy.
Got to check the wall.
I got to check.
No, I think it's fantastic.
I know mine. Yeah.
For those who are listening, they have to come into Ottomanelli's on Bleecker Street and see it for themselves. I mean, you guys have photos on the wall. You're proud of the purveyors that you work with. I think it's just there's memorabilia. It's a really special place to be.
Hey, Frank, what kind of meat do you have to eat to have 2 sets of twins? What if you want twins, is it a secret in the diet?
A different combination of meat. we'll do the pig roast pork and slowly cook it. And I get a pork butt. I do nice slow cook roast pork, slow cook into that. Make pulled pork with that. It's great. I actually do that with the for Super Bowl Sunday with my friends and I. Mm-hmm. And then look forward to it. They really hang out and love it.
Well, I hope the Giants get there next year. I see you're wearing a Giants cap.
Always. I was going to be switching it to a Mets soon.
No. All right.
But, we'll see what happens with the ground first.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you all.
Real heroes to us.
No, thank you.
You started Heritage
Patrick,
Foods.
Emily. And Matt.
Our engineer, Matt. Thank you guys.
I got a Matt in the back also.
Oh, yeah? Well, thank you guys so much for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you for thinking of us.
We will come back and see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network. food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.